The month of June has been hijacked by the anti-Christian culture to show their pride in something God calls an abomination. When you support AFR, you help us continue to stand for godly values and provide the resources for you to stay in the know about the enemy's tactics. To say thank you for your gift this month, we'll give you the booklet, Inside the LGBTQ Push of the 1990s, to help strengthen your convictions. Just go to afr.net/offers. afr.net/offers.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. I hope you had a wonderful weekend. We had a great, great day yesterday at First Baptist Texarkana. We baptized four, and the last person we baptized was an 84-year-old lady in our church. She's been in our church for a long time. But she had some issues, some questions about her salvation. She nailed those down, and she gave a testimony through baptism. It was very difficult for her to do because she has some physical issues, and so we had two of our guys in the water with her to help her get down into the water and then to be baptized. And, you know, it's always a wonderful thing when people are baptized. Baptism does not save you. Baptism is the visible picture of an invisible reality. And what's the invisible reality? When a person turns from sin and turns to Jesus, they die to their old way of life and they receive a brand new life in Jesus Christ. That's pictured through the waters of baptism. That's why the Bible doesn't have sprinkling. It never shows that. It always is done in a pool of water. As the Ethiopian eunuch said to Philip, "Look, water, what prevents me from being baptized?" He said, "If you really believe with all your heart, you may." He said, "I do. And I believe that Jesus is the Christ." And so he baptized him. He went down into the water, buried with Christ in baptism, raised to walk in newness of life. It's a visible picture. Everybody can see you getting baptized, of an invisible reality. And if you go in the water an unbeliever, you don't come out a believer. You have to go into the water a believer. That's why we call it believer's baptism. And it's our way of identifying with Jesus. My pastor, DeMond Shook, used to say, you know, even if we don't understand it, it doesn't matter. If Jesus had told us to stand on our head in the corner to show that we belong to him, then we would just say, "Yes, Lord." We don't argue with him about it. We just say, "Yes, Lord, whatever you want me to do, you are my king, you are my master, you're my Lord and Savior, and I report to you and I do what you say." So that was a great, great experience. And we're continuing on our series on Samuel, the character study on Samuel from 1 Samuel called Leaving a Legacy. And so we talked about revival, something that's very, very important. 1 Samuel chapter 7, it's a revival of the people of God and how God responds when we get right with him. Well, yesterday afternoon, we heard about the terrible, horrible attack on the Mormon church there in Michigan. The last report I read, 4 people killed and several others injured. This man, a 40-year-old Marine veteran who served in Iraq from 2004 to 2008. I don't know why I have not seen anybody report what his motive was, but they did report that he had anti-Trump signs at his house. And some have tried to link him to, he was a white supremacist, a MAGA supporter and all that. That is not true. He had a wife, a 10-year-old son. He's dead now. But started shooting people, lit the church on fire. And it's just beyond comprehension what people are doing today. And I was going back and forth with AI today, talking about the violence that we see. And talking to AI is like talking to Rachel Maddow when you talk about subjects that are not just cut and dried as far as, you know, what year did such and such happen. You know, AI is pretty good about history questions and things like that, and just pinpointing math problems, English grammar issues. But when it comes to reading between the lines and piecing things together, AI is terrible at that. And so AI was trying to tell me the typical back and forth that you hear, you know, from liberals. Well, there's violence on both sides, and you know that we see as much violence coming from the right as we do from the left, and you know all these conservatives, these white you know supremacists that do all these evil things and attack people and kill people. Here's the thing, and I challenged AI on this. I said, just because a person cites scripture doesn't mean they're a conservative Christian in their belief. I said, you know who cites scripture? Satan. I said, based on your analysis, AI, Grok, I said, would you say Satan is a conservative Christian? And Grok had to backtrack and say, well, no, Satan is not a conservative Christian. Duh. But Satan's quote scripture. Yes, AI had to admit that. And so AI then backtracked. Okay, based on the actions of these people, they tell you, and their cards are exposed. This is not a Christ follower. This is not somebody that was conservative in his ideology, because a conservative biblical ideology doesn't do those things. And if you're a Christ follower, you don't kill people. You don't indiscriminately murder people because you are angry. And what do we see from the left? Now, can you find some unhinged person on that would say that they voted for Trump and they're pro-America that wants to kill people? I guess you could, but that person is going against, through his or her actions, going against what they say they believe in, because as we stand for freedom, is what Charlie Kirk was noted for, was for dialogue, not for violence. And so those kinds of actions reveal somebody that is totally different from what they may espouse. But now on the left, that's what you get. They do espouse that, and it is seen. The proof is in the pudding, the violence that is there. That doesn't mean that every single liberal is ready to burn a church down and shoot people. Obviously not. You know, it is said that not every Muslim is a terrorist, but every terrorist is a Muslim. Now, that's a good distinction. And all these terrorists are radical Muslims. And people say, well, it's just the fringe. It's a lot of them. And as we had Kenza Haddock, she's been on the radio program a couple of different times, and she has the book, Ex-Muslim's Guide to Christianity. She went from Islam to Christ at a great, great cost to herself and to her family. Because when you come out of that, the Quran says, well, as a parent, you're risking your own eternity if you don't get that child back into the faith, or murder that child, an honor killing, as they call it. And so she said, you know, jihad is written in the Quran. What did Muhammad do? He was a killer. Muhammad is smash mouth religion, believe or die. And he would execute people for not adhering to Islam and coming to denounce Christ, denounce Judaism, and embrace Islam. Do that or we will kill you. Well, so we pray for those people. Obviously, Mormonism is not biblical Christianity. But I don't think that guy knew that, this killer, this 40-year-old Marine vet. And he just said, one church is as good as another church. All churches are the same. Maybe that's what he thought in his mind. I don't know what was the motivation there, but we pray for those families, because that is just horrific. Well, I want to switch gears, because what I did yesterday afternoon wasn't feeling all that great, but I watched the Ryder Cup. Many people who like golf were watching the Ryder Cup, and hats off to the European team for defeating the American team there in at the golf course Bethpage Black in New York. And the conduct of the fans was reprehensible. And that's not a strong enough word. It was horrible. You know, golf is known as a gentleman's game. In golf, you police yourself. You call yourself out. If you hit the ball, you know, just nudge it or something like that. They're very precise on the rules, and it's known as a gentleman's game. What I like about golf compared to other sports, you know, you if you don't play well, you don't earn money. And so it's specific that your success is determined by how well you play. It's not like football or basketball or another sport, baseball, whatever, where you get a big contract from your team, and then if you play poorly that year, you still get paid the millions of dollars. In golf, now, obviously sponsorships are different, but in golf, from the PGA, if you don't make any tournaments, you're not getting paid. You have to win to get paid. Well, Rory McIlroy was heckled. They were saying terrible, horrible things, the profanity that was coming out, and that he dished out himself. The things that they said about Rory McIlroy's wife, somebody actually threw a beer at her. She reportedly left the course in tears. It's just awful. And so Rory was asked about it. This is what he had to say.
I don't think we should ever accept that in golf. I think golf should be held to a higher standard than what was, you know, than what was seen out there this week. Golf has the ability to unite people. Golf teaches you very good life lessons. It teaches you etiquette. It teaches you how to play by the rules. It teaches you how to respect people. You know, sometimes this week we didn't see that. So, this should not be what is acceptable in the Ryder Cup. But, you know, we will be making sure to say to our fans in Ireland in 2027 that, you know, what happened here this week is not acceptable. And it's, you know, for me, it's, you know, come and support your home team. You know, come and support your team. You know, I think if I was an American, I would be annoyed that people, I didn't hear a lot of shouts for Scotty today, but I heard a lot of shouts against me. And it's like, support your players. You know, that's the thing. So, look, it was a rough week for all of us. But at the same time, you know, we shut them up by our performance and how we played. And we tried to, you know, I chirped back a few times because it got to me a few times, but we tried to handle everything that came our way with class and poise, and for the most part I felt like we did that.
Well, that was Rory McIlroy talking about what happened at Bethpage Black at the Ryder Cup. And Bethpage Black is a very difficult course there in New York, and it was just pitiful. It was just embarrassing that fans would act like that. Fans were removed from the course, as they should have been. But you ask yourself, what is going on in society that we would think, especially at a golf tournament, that is acceptable? And what I come up with is 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1. But realize this, that in the last days, difficult times will come, for men will be lovers of self, lovers of money, boastful, arrogant, revilers, disobedient to parents, ungrateful, unholy, unloving, irreconcilable, malicious gossips, without self-control. So many of those fans had no self-control. Brutal. They were definitely brutal. Haters of good, treacherous, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, holding to a form of godliness, although they have denied its power. Avoid such men as these. Our society has sunk so low. What is the answer to that kind of a society? The answer is for Christians to stand up, to speak up, to shine, to share, to speak the truth in love, to look, fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, to know that the Lord said these things were going to happen. He's not surprised by these things. We don't need to be surprised by these things, but we need to call them out, and we need to speak the truth in love and point people to Jesus, who is mighty to save. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today on American Family Radio, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas, and the founder of From His Heart Ministries. From His Heart is heard every weeknight at 6 p.m. Central Time right here on American Family Radio. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're kind of catching up on what has happened in the last few days and talking about society and just how society has, it's just sunk to new lows, and how violence is kind of the order of the day now. We have a special prayer time every Saturday night at First Baptist Texarkana at 6:30. I've been doing this now for about 20 years. And we have some very, very faithful prayer warriors, and I wish it were more, but it's a small core in our church that comes to pray. It's open to anybody and everybody, and we primarily pray. It's not just, you know, pray for my aunt, she has bunions type thing. It's, although we do pray for personal needs, but it's to pray for Sunday and to pray that God would be glorified, His word would go out, that people would come to know Christ, and pray for our country, and pray, that the Lord would be working in our midst, and that revival would come, those kinds of things. Well, one of our faithful prayer warriors, John Triplett, who is a faithful member of our church and teaches a class for us on SHAPE, helping Christians find out their spiritual gifts so they can use that to the glory of God. He said something very interesting. I mentioned this in church yesterday, but he said before we prayed, he said, "Pastor Jeff, I just feel like there's like a vision that I've seen in my mind, in my heart, that there is such a battle raging." He said, "It's just like all hell is coming against the church of the Lord Jesus Christ and against Christians. And there's this massive battle raging." You know, everything kind of changed on September 10th when Charlie Kirk was brutally murdered in front of his wife and daughter, and in front of so many, and how God is using that. He's using it for good. The funeral memorial service for Charlie Kirk from a week ago Sunday was witnessed by so many millions of people, not only in America, but around the world. And that the gospel was clearly shared. And I agree. I don't know who said this. It was some pastor that said this. But he said, if you go to a church and your pastor never even mentioned that, hasn't mentioned Charlie Kirk, hasn't mentioned the memorial service for Charlie Kirk, hasn't mentioned the fact that because of the response from Erica Kirk and Turning Point USA and the Christian community, that the gospel was shared around the world in such clear terms, if your pastor didn't ever even comment on that, you need to ask him point blank why. And if that answer is not, I can't think of a credible answer to that question other than I'm a coward and I don't want to stand up for the truth and that's too political or whatever. Hey, I was listening to Josh, what's his name from Lake Point? Josh Howerton. Jay, you can correct me on that if I'm wrong. But he was saying, listen, you know, the church not being political. Well, politics and morality are put together now, and the church better stand up and speak up and keep our fundamental right to speak the truth in love, keep that protected. And so if pastors aren't willing to stand up and speak up about the evils of abortion, the evils of homosexuality, the evils of the LGBTQIA+ agenda, if we're not willing to speak up about the transgender insanity, we don't speak up about all these issues, oh, that's too political, well, then where is a person supposed to hear the truth if they don't hear it from the church? And here's the, something that is very troublesome to me. You know, people are not, they're not oblivious to what's going on in culture. And if the church never engages what people are talking about in the culture, the church seems very irrelevant. The church seems like it doesn't interact with real life. Jesus was a real person who interacted with real life. He mixed with humanity, and he obviously put on humanity, and the great eternal God became a man without denying his deity or distorting his humanity. He is very God of very God and very man of very man. He's the God-man, not 50% God and 50% man, but 100% God and 100% man. He's the God-man. Never be another like Jesus. And so we desperately need to stand up and speak up for the truth. And here's the thing. So I play Bill Maher a lot. I listen, you know, I don't listen to his program, but I listen for clips. And Bill Maher is an atheist. Bill Maher is no friend of Christians. But Bill Maher is not somebody who would advocate violence against conservatives. He had Charlie Kirk on his podcast, and he said he likes Charlie Kirk, and he's had other conservatives on his podcast. He says we need to talk and dialogue. But what do we have on the left? We typically, you don't have any dialogue. As it was pointed out, late night talk shows, Jimmy Kimmel never has a conservative on there. Stephen Colbert, never a conservative on there. And so they don't want to hear. Well, this is what Bill Maher had to say. I believe this was from Friday night, from his program on Friday night. This, as somebody has titled this, he takes a sledgehammer to Democrats and their claims.
The basic problem we have in America is conservatives think the liberals are insane, and they're not completely wrong. Now, I don't think most liberals are insane, but neither do they make it clear they disapprove of the ones who are, and their cowardice in not marginalizing their own crazies has been their downfall. I couldn't get Neil deGrasse Tyson, a genius scientist and preeminent scientific voice in the media, to agree that it was ridiculous for Scientific American and The Atlantic to be claiming that separating sports by sex doesn't make sense. Yes, it does. Actually, it makes perfect sense. And it's obvious that it does. And there's a lot of stuff like that on the left. And when conservatives see it, they say, I'm sorry, we're just not going to go along with reinventing society, often pointlessly, even if we have to cancel democracy to do it. That's what they're saying. They see gender is only a construct and sex is assigned at birth, and they say, we're not doing that. Transing kids by self-diagnosis with no age limit, no parental notification, and no acknowledgement of social contagion, not doing it. Asylum now covers any reason for anyone to come to America, not doing it. Homelessness is a lifestyle. Natural immunity doesn't count anymore. Whiteness is toxic. Welcoming the intifada, we're not doing it. And so, folks, if we are ever going to get back to the old America, that's got to be the Democrats' part of the bargain. Stop coming up with radically new and often terrible ideas, and then in the next breath, insist there be no debate about any of it. That if you don't see it right away and go along, you're bad, stupid, and deplorable. As if you were saying, duh, 2 + 2 = 5, isn't that obvious? Yeah, it's obvious you can't add.
Well, that was Bill Maher, and he is exactly right. We are being told by the left 2 + 2 = 5, And isn't that obvious? Well, yeah, as he said, it's obvious you can't add 2 + 2 = 4. And as, gosh, I've gone blank on his name. Well, as one man says, I'll come up with a minute, having a senior moment. As one man has said, you know, facts don't care about your feelings. And truth is truth, whether you believe it or not. You know, there's a law called gravity. And if you climb up on the Empire State Building and with nothing on but your cape, Ben Shapiro, that's who said that. I knew it was Ben something, and I was just gone blank. If you climb up on the Empire State Building with nothing but a cape and your Batman suit and jump off, well, you're not going to break the law of gravity. You're going to be broken on the law of gravity. If someone said, you don't really break the commandments, you're broken on the commandments, and God is going to judge you, not based on what you think is right, but based on what is true, what he has said. Truth, you've heard me say this before, our program, Real Truth for Today. Truth is not what you think. It's not what you feel. It's not what you want it to be. Truth is what God says. John 17, verse 17, Jesus in his great high priestly prayer said to the Father, sanctify them, set them apart in the truth. Your word is truth. And Jesus is the Word. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. He's not a way, a truth, and a life. He is the definite article, the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father but through him. Now, let me change gears a little bit, because we have conservatives and guys that have said some really good things over the years. Tucker Carlson is one of those guys that was saying things that pastors were afraid to say, and I appreciate him for that. He spoke at Charlie Kirk's memorial service, and he said what is needed is repentance. I appreciated him for that. But for some reason, he has gotten on this bandwagon that is, we want to distance ourselves from Israel. So I saw Dinesh D'Souza, he put something out on X concerning the Jews and what Tucker Carlson has said. When he had Ted Cruz on his program, you know, he really put him in the hot seat. And he was like, you know, when the Bible says, you know, we're to support Israel, where does it say that? Ted Cruz couldn't answer that question, Genesis chapter 12. But he couldn't answer that question. And he's like, well, what Israel are you talking about? Are you talking about ancient Israel? And Ted was just like, Israel, Israel is Israel. Well, the question was posed to Benjamin Netanyahu, and is the Israel of Genesis 12 the Israel today? I loved his answer.
In a recent exchange between Tucker Carlson and Senator Ted Cruz, Tucker Carlson said, are you saying that the Jews in Israel under Netanyahu are the descendants of the ancient Israelites who are described in the Bible?
Of course, there's no question about it. The Jews spread from this land to various parts of Europe, to the Middle East and elsewhere. But we never forgot this land. We said, next year in Jerusalem, next year in Jerusalem. My great-grandfather came here in the 19th century. Most of the Palestinians who are alive today came after him. So that's what our history has been. On the one hand, regaining our ancient ancestral homeland. On the other, developing a state that becomes a juggernaut of technology and development. We're Silicon Valley in the Middle East, a democratic society in the face of enormous attacks of countries that want to annihilate us every day. Who is Tucker Carlson defending here? These are people who chant, death to America. They're after you. They want to destroy Western civilization. They want to destroy everything that America stands for. They say Israel is a small Satan. The big Satan is America. The only place where Christians are safe in the Middle East is in Israel. Not tolerated, welcomed. They participate in our society. We take care of the holy places, which are destroyed everywhere else. Churches blown up throughout the Middle East. So if Tucker Carlson is asking you that, then he has no idea, not of Jewish history, but of history. Who are these?
That was Benjamin Netanyahu directly answering that question from Tucker Carlson. And I believe with all my heart, now this gets into eschatology. And so Kirk Cameron is a friend of mine, and I love Kirk. He's been at our church, but his eschatology would be different from mine. And, you know, if you don't see that God is working through the church and that the church is not Israel, Israel is separate from the church. And so there's a partial hardening that has happened in Israel. The Lord is dealing with his church. The church is the bride of Christ. And as John the Baptist said, you know, he was the friend of the bridegroom. He wasn't the bride. He was a friend of the bridegroom. And so he represents the Jews there. And so the Lord is working through his bride. Obviously, they're Jewish believers. But that is very small compared to how many Jews there are. The Lord has a plan for Israel. The Lord has made promises to Israel. And so the church is not Israel. It hasn't replaced Israel. And when the church is raptured, and that is coming, the Lord is going to come for his bride, just like the Old Testament the wedding motif and Old Testament, New Testament wedding motif, where the father would tell the son, everything is ready now, go get your bride. It was always a surprise. She had to be on the ready. And so Jesus shared that parable, the parable of the 10 virgins in Matthew chapter 25. And so he's going to come and get us. And the rapture of the church is a reality. 1 Thessalonians 4 is going to happen. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, that is going to happen. John chapter 14, let not your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. When does that happen? When do we go to the Father's house? At the rapture of the church. And after the rapture of the church, Jews are going to understand that Jesus Christ truly was and is their Messiah, and they're going to put their faith and trust in Jesus. And Revelation 7 says that 144,000 Jews are going to be sealed, 12,000 from every tribe. God is not finished with the Jews. That's why they still exist today. Well, you're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. When we come back after the break, we'll take your calls, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, if you have a comment, I would love to hear from you, so give me a call and let's talk.
This July, we celebrate the birth of our nation and remember the heroes who fought for our freedoms. But did you know there are Americans today who don't have the freedom of life and liberty? Every day, unborn babies' very lives are under attack. But because of preborn, we can rescue them.
I got to hear and see my baby for the first time. Hearing the heartbeat made me cry, and it was certain that I was going to keep my baby forever.
Ultrasounds save lives. And when you save a life at a preborn network clinic, you often save a soul, as over 85,000 women have come to know Christ. To learn more about preborn's life-saving work, call #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250 baby. Or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR. All gifts are tax deductible. Your love can save a life.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email Pastor Jeff at FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here. We're going to open up the phone lines, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. If you have a question, a comment, I would love to hear from you. We're talking about a lot of things today, what's going on in our world, and really talking about the state of society. Society is sinking fast, and that's just proof positive that the Lord is coming soon. The coming of the Lord is near. James chapter 5, verse 8. I think it's interesting and very telling that we read in the last chapter of the Bible, Revelation chapter 22, from the lips of Jesus, three times he says, I am coming quickly, suddenly, rapidly. Quickly is not, I'll be there next, in the next hour. It means when I come, it will be so fast. Boom, I'm here. And so there's no time when the Lord comes quickly. There's no time to get ready. You have to be ready. And that's how we are to live. Seeing that all these things are to be destroyed in this way, Peter said, what sort of people ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, on which the heavens will be destroyed by burning and the elements will melt with intense heat. And so we live ready. We remember that our purpose on this earth is to be his witnesses and to be a faithful witness. And what does it mean to be a faithful witness? It means that you speak the truth. And as I said, following Charlie Kirk's assassination, I've said this before, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. I've had several people tell me, I never thought about that before, but that has really stuck with me. And it's extremely accurate. Truth, speaking the truth in love. Truth is hate to those who hate the truth. When you tell somebody, I'm not going to call you by your preferred pronoun because that's insanity. I'm not going along with you in your fantasy. Because if I did that, I would be lying to you, and that's definitely not loving you. So I'm going to speak the truth in love, and I'll say with the Apostle Paul, have I become your enemy by telling you the truth? Jesus said, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. And to be a faithful witness, to be a faithful pastor, you have to call people out, not by name, but you let people know, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And what is the wage of sin? Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. Physical death, spiritual death, being separated from God forever and ever and ever. And we present the truth to people as faithful witnesses, and we tell them, listen, that's the bad news. You have to be able to see the bad news in order to understand the good news. So once you understand the bad news, you're a helpless, hopeless sinner on the highway to hell. And now let me tell you the good news. Jesus came and died on the cross for you, and you don't have to go to hell. You can be reconciled to God through Jesus Christ. And all you have to do, you don't have to work for his acceptance. You just have to turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in him. You have to repent, change your mind about what you think of sin, what you think about self, what you think about the Savior, and put your faith and trust in him. Well, we have Todd on the line from Texas. Todd, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today?
Doing well, Todd. How are you?
Good. I was listening to your thing on Israel.
Mm-hmm.
And all Christians should understand that Israel is not just a nation, it's a family. It's Adam, Abraham's family, Isaac, Jacob. It's a family of people. And through Jesus Christ, all Christians were grafted, adopted into that family. So all Christians are also Israel.
Okay.
So should we support Israel? Yes. We should support the nation. We should support the people. We should support ourselves being a part of Israel.
Yeah. Yeah, well, that's a good way to look at it. So we're sons of Abraham, grafted in, as the Bible uses that terminology, adopted into the family. and the family of God. But God does have, he's working through his church. Upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it, as the Lord says. He's working through his church. When the church is raptured, then God turns back to work through the Jews. Specifically, those Jews that right now don't believe in Jesus. They, you know, there's such a vehement, visceral reaction to Jesus. You know, Jews are taught, don't believe in Jesus. But there's coming a day when Jews will turn to Christ by the multitudes. And as I said, Revelation 7, the Lord is going to seal 12,000 from the 12 tribes, 144,000. Can you imagine what 144,000 Apostle Pauls could do in terms of advancing belief in Jesus? They're going to have a tremendous impact, and the Antichrist is going to be after them with everything that he's got, and many of them, I don't think the ones sealed, I think they're protected, but many of them will lose their lives, and the martyrdom that is going to take place during the tribulation period is going to be unprecedented. So great point, Todd. I appreciate you calling in with that. Anything else you wanted to say?
It's just that, you know, the separating the church from Israel is, you can't do that if we are, I know that there are many Jews, Israelites, that don't believe in Christ as Messiah, but we are still a part of that family. They are the ones that brought us the gospel.
Right.
So the gift that they gave us, anything that we can do to support them is legitimate.
Amen. Amen to that. Good word. I appreciate that. Well, we have Deb on the line from Mississippi. Deb, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Thank you. And I appreciate your speaking out about things. It's been very interesting. With the Israel, with Jews, will and their migration back like to their homeland, is that something that will happen after rapture, or is that something that's in the process of happening that we should be opening our eyes to? Or I just wanted you to elaborate on that.
Yeah.
And I'll hang up and listen.
Okay, Deb, that's a good question. Yeah. So when Israel became a nation in 1948, that was huge. That was, and those who believe in a premillennial return of Jesus Christ and pre-tribulation rapture, you don't have to be a pre-tribulation rapturist to believe in a premillennial return of Jesus Christ. Some people put the rapture at the middle of the tribulation. Some people put it at the end of the tribulation. I don't think it fits. It definitely doesn't fit at the end of the tribulation. You could try and make the case for the middle of the tribulation, but I think the best case is the Lord comes, he snatches away his bride before the tribulation period begins. But after that, he's going to set up his kingdom. Now, if you have this idea that there is no kingdom, you're amillennial. A millennial belief is that there's a thousand-year reign of Jesus Christ. Revelation chapter 20 says six times he reigns for a thousand years. But if you just spiritualize all that away from Revelation chapter 20, then you say we're just amillennial, there is no millennial kingdom, then there's no, it doesn't matter that Israel came back in the land. But when you understand Revelation from the standpoint of there is a millennial kingdom, Jesus is going to rule and reign from Jerusalem, that Israel really, really matters. And so Israel becoming a nation again, and that was a huge piece of the puzzle. And so that came to pass in 1948, and Israel came back into the land. They're not scattered around everywhere. You can't have these promises. How's Jesus going to set up his kingdom in Israel and show himself as their king if there is no Israel? So if you read books, Ed Heinsohn and Jeff Kinley and others, who have the eschatology that Israel and the church are not the same thing, that you really see how important it is for Israel to be in the land when the Lord returns, and the Antichrist is going to come after Israel. All the anti-Semitism that we see today that's just on the rise, the people walking out of the UN when Benjamin Netanyahu got up to speak, you know, they'll stay in when the Xi Jinping gets up to speak from China, and all the atrocities that they are guilty of. Oh, that's fine. They wouldn't even get out when, you know, if Hamas got up to speak, they wouldn't get out. But they get out because Israel is bad, and we hate Israel. That kind of attitude. And so America is really Israel's only ally, and we need to continue to keep Israel in our prayers, and pray for the peace of Jerusalem, Psalm 122, verse 6. And Israel is called in Scripture the apple of God's eye, and God is not done with Israel. And God has big plans for Israel. He has made promises to Israel, and He is going to fulfill those promises. Those promises are not fulfilled in the church. They will be fulfilled in Israel, just like He said. So I appreciate that that call. Well, we have Doc on the line from Texas. Doc, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor. I grew up close to your hometown, Magnolia, Arkansas.
Yes, sir.
Texarkana. How would you witness to, pardon my voice, I got vocal cord problems. I have a friend that's agnostic. How would you go about trying to win him over to Christianity? Agnostic cannot pray to God because he's not a Christian. He's not part of God's family.
Right.
So, got any thoughts on that area?
Yes. Okay. So, I would say, Doc, in that situation, that look at the evidence for the resurrection of Jesus. I would go there because that's what Lee Strobel. His The Case for Christ, and that would be a great book if your friend would read it. But Lee Strobel was an atheist, agnostic, and he was trying to disprove Christianity. And he said, how do I go about this? And a friend of his told him, well, everything rises and falls on the resurrection of Jesus. If you can prove that Jesus Christ didn't really rise from the dead, then you topple Christianity. So he said, okay, I'm going to do that. And he went out, and Lee Strobel is a thorough reporter, a thorough investigator, and he went out, and he was going to disprove the accounts from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John on the resurrection of Jesus. And guess what? He couldn't do it. He had to come to the realization that this is a fact of history. Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. All the evidence shows that. And I like what Adrian Rogers did one time with an agnostic. He said to this guy, he said, are you an agnostic is somebody that doesn't know. And it's the same thing as an ignoramus, but he didn't want to tell him that. But he said, now, are you you're a doubter? And the guy said, yeah, I'm a big doubter. And he said, well, are you an honest doubter or a dishonest doubter? And the guy said, well, I'd like to think I'm an honest doubter. He said, I don't really know the difference. And he said, well, an honest doubter doesn't know but wants to know. A dishonest doubter doesn't know and doesn't want to know. He's the guy that can't, the thief that can't find a policeman because he doesn't want to find one. And so he said, well, yeah, I'll be an honest doubter. And he said, well, here's the challenge. He said, read the Gospel of John. It was written so that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, and believing have life in his name. And pray this prayer. God, I don't know if you're real or not. I don't know if your son is real or not, but I want to know, and I'm going on an investigation, and if you're real, show me. And he said, pray that prayer and mean it, and then read the Gospel of John and see if God doesn't speak to your heart. And so that guy did that. He was a NASA engineer, very smart guy. And when he prayed that prayer and when he started to read the Gospel of John, I think it was 3 or 4 weeks later, he became a Christian. Because he said, God has revealed himself to me. Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And so that would be my encouragement, Doc, is to get him those resources, especially The Case for Christ, that's also in a movie. It's really well done in a movie. And examine the evidence concerning the resurrection, and you'll see that Jesus Christ really did rise from the dead. And because he rose from the dead, that makes Christianity different than any other religious belief system. Because Muhammad's dead, Buddha is dead, but Jesus Christ is alive forevermore. Well, thanks for the call, and thanks for listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here on American Family Radio. It is a privilege to get to speak to you. Go out today, shine for Christ, and share what great things the Lord has done for you. And guess what? God will use you as His witness. God bless you.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family.